Let's turn now to Revelation chapter 7, and we have just looked at, in Revelation chapter 6, how many of these seals are opened in Revelation chapter 6? We open so many of them, and then we come to chapter 7. Cynthia, how many opened?
Six.
Six of the seals are opened in Revelation chapter 6. And remember that these seals represent prior events that must happen before what? The seal represents, it has writing in it, and it represents what? And these, I'm talking about the whole scroll. What does the scroll reveal? Marion?
Well,
Yes, the scroll reveals the unveiling of the wrath of God. Remember, this is a revelation about Jesus Christ, and it's about Him coming as a lion. He came the first time as a lamb. When He comes the second time, He's going to come as a lion. Now, He is also called a lamb in Revelation, but it's called the wrath of the Lamb. So when He comes the second time, He's not coming to be hung on a cross. He's not coming to be spit upon. He's not coming to be mocked. He's not coming to be ridiculed. He's, by the way, a lot of people say, Jesus Christ now, and they take His name in vain. That won't happen when He comes back again. No. The whole world is going to cow down to Him and bow down, and they're going to try to fight against Him during His wrath, but not successfully, because it's going to be a hell on earth, and He's going to pour out His wrath on this world. And so when He comes again the second time, He's going to pour out His wrath and His judgment upon this world. And this scroll shows that wrath and what it's going to be like. And that's why these seals must be opened first. These seals are not the wrath of God. They are prior events leading up to it that must happen before it. And that's why you and I, if we're saved, we're not appointed to undergo God's wrath, because Jesus took the wrath of God on the cross for us. And if you've accepted Him as your personal Savior, you don't have to fear wrath. You have salvation. That's a wonderful thing. But you will be here for these prior events. The breaking of the seals. All six of these seals. You will be here. Then the Bible says you'll be raptured or caught up to meet the Lord when He comes back. At the beginning of His second coming. And that will be after what seal and before what seal are we raptured? Marion again.
Would it be after the fifth and before the sixth?
Close. The fifth seal, by the way, is the Great Tribulation. The sixth seal is the cosmic darkening, when there'll be the cosmic disturbance. So the sixth seal is the cosmic darkening. Now, when would you say it would be? It would be after the sixth, right after. That's the sign of His coming, that the imminency of the wrath of God is going to come down. When the stars fall, the sun is dark, the moon shall not give her light. Joel 3 talks about that. The Old Testament prophets talk about that. Matthew 24, Christ talked about that. Well, the rapture will happen right after the opening of the sixth seal and before the seventh seal. Because when the seventh seal is opened, then what's going to follow the seventh seal? The judgment of the wrath of God. Because now this scroll is unveiled. It's open. That's the wrath of God. So we have to be out of here before the seventh seal is open, right after the sixth seal. Yes?
Is there any that I haven't grasped that says about how long this, the openings are?
Yes, that's a very good question, actually, and a very important question. When do these things take place, the opening of these things? We know that everything that has to do with the end time is tied in with Daniel. That's why Daniel and Revelation is so important to study them. I encourage you to come out on Wednesday night, because that's when we're studying Daniel, and that goes with Revelation. And we've already said, and I'm sure you could answer this, that these seals are going to be opened during what period of time prophesied by Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27?
Daniel's
70th week of years. And that is a seven-year period. Daniel speaks of 70 weeks of years, not weeks of days, weeks of years. So 70 times 7 is 490 years. 483 of those years have already been fulfilled as of April the 6th, AD 32 AD, or at that time when Christ was cut off, when He presented himself as Messiah. That stopped the time clock. Because if it didn't stop the time clock, then we know that the millennium would have come and the kingdom of God would have been set up in AD 39. It didn't happen. In point of fact, in AD 70, Jerusalem was burned and the temple was burned and the Jews were scattered. And so it still hadn't happened. So there is a delay. And when the time clock starts up again, there'll be 7 years left of those 490 years. We don't know when it will start up. But we know what will happen during those during that 7 year period. These seven seals will be opened. So we know that that's going to happen during that 7 year period. And we know what's going to happen, and so we can tell when things are preparing for it, when all of the stage equipment is being put on the stage until the curtain is drawn up. You can see the preparations, all right? So these seals, the first seal, when it's opened up, is going to be the false peace and the false Christ and the rebuilding of the temple allowed for. That's all at the beginning of the 7 years. The second seal is going to be a war that will follow within the first year of the 7 years. And that will be a war in the Middle East that will erupt and be a huge war. I call it World War III. And then there'll be a famine that will affect certainly Europe and the Middle East and may affect worldwide conditions. There'll be famine, food shortages. And then will be killer diseases that will spread, pestilence and diseases. And then after that, the fifth seal is right in the middle of the 7 years. So the first four seals take place during the first 3.5 years. The fifth seal takes place right in the middle of the 7 years. Now, the good question is, when is the sixth seal? Okay, the sixth seal happens during the second 3.5 years of these 7 years. And the sixth seal is going to cut short this great tribulation. The great tribulation is the persecution of the Jewish Antichrist and the head of the European Union, the revived Roman Empire leader. That will be a persecution of everybody that does not take the mark of the beast. And cannot buy or sell and will not be able to eat and will be arrested and will be killed. And so that will take place during the second 3.5 years. The sixth seal will cut it short. Why will the sixth seal cut it short? Why will that stop this great persecution? And by the way, if God didn't cut it short, Jesus said in Matthew 24, no flesh would be saved. In the context, it's talking about the flesh of God's elect. His chosen people would not be saved. They would all be killed by the beasts. Well, what stops it? What in the sixth seal stops this tribulation, the great tribulation? Otherwise, it would keep going for the whole 3.5 years, the second half of the 7 years. It would keep going. The great tribulation starts in the middle, and it would keep going for the rest of the 3.5 years. But something stops this persecution. What is it, Kim Lake?
The coming of Jesus Christ?
Yes, the coming of Jesus. And the word for coming is parousia. It means coming and continued presence. That means that the Lord is going to come and His sign of His glory will be seen in the parchment of the sky. It will light up the darkened sun and the moon, and the whole light will be the Lord's light. And that is the final sign of His coming. That will happen after the sixth seal. Darkens everything. That will lighten everything. And that's called the sign of His coming. And the word coming there doesn't mean just in one day it will be over. That continues over the 3.5 years. That continues even after that for a time. And so the coming of the Lord is a, just like His first coming took 30 years, 33 and a half years. He was here. His second coming will be 3.5+ years that His glory will be revealed. All right? And so the coming of the Lord with the brightness of His coming will be the thing that will cut short the Lord's the persecution. However, even before the Lord's glory is shown, the cosmic darkening of the sixth seal will cut it short. Because remember in Revelation 6 that is when they run into the rocks and they say, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. So it's going to be dark, it's going to be stark, and it's going to be scary for the world, not for God's people. They're going to look up. Men's hearts will be failing them. Heart attacks, pacemakers stopping, people dying for fear. But not God's people. They're going to be like, oh yes, He's come. He's delivered us. So that will happen during the second half of the 3.5 years. Why can't we tell you exactly when it will happen? We know it'll happen during the second 3.5 years. Why can't I put it down to a day and a month? Yes?
Because in the Bible it says no one knows the exact time.
No one knows. Marian just said it. Because in the Bible Jesus said only the Father knows the day. It hasn't even been revealed to the Son when he was here the first time in his humanity. The day and the hour of his coming is not known to us. It's going to come as a surprise. And so the Lord is going to cut short that persecution by the sixth seal. However, we do know the season of it. We do know when it's getting near, because each one of these seals, if you understand them, you will know where you are. You will know that you're in the 70th week of Daniel. Now, have we entered into that period of time yet? No, I don't believe we have. Why not? Well, what is the first seal open that will let us know that we're in that period of time? Marian?
The white horse, which is peace.
Yes, the white horse, which is peace. Now, we've had a lot of peace talks in the Middle East. In 1991, really marked the beginning of the last day's peace process. That will lead to this. I've been watching it since 1991 intently. I've been watching Bible prophecy in the Middle East for over 40 years intently. But since 1991, I've been watching this peace process worked out. It started in Madrid, Spain, and it accelerated in 1993 onto the White House lawn. And it has gone on to Camp David in the year 2000. It has just started up again in 2007 with the Annapolis meeting. And we are getting closer and closer. You say, will it happen this year? I don't know. Will it happen 10, 20 years from now? Good chance. Within 10, 20 years. Could happen this year. It will happen sooner than we think, I believe. And I personally believe it will happen in my lifetime. I can't say that for sure, but I personally believe that. Certainly, we are in those days, and we are preparing for that. So we're told to watch. We're told to watch. And the peace specifically that Marian is just really referring to here is a peace that has to do with, in Daniel 9, if you study it, has to do with the city of Jerusalem. And it has to do with the Temple Mount, because we know that Daniel mentions that the result of that will be that the Jewish Antichrist will stop the offerings on the temple. Well, you can't stop them unless they start. So we believe that peace agreement is going to give Israel the right to their Temple Mount. Do they have the right to their Temple Mount right now? No. Why not? In 1967, they conquered the Temple Mount. The soldiers of my generation went up there, and tears were streaming out of those young men's eyes as they came up on the Temple Mount. The head rabbi said, let us right now get explosives and blow up the Mosque of Omar, the Muslim mosque that's on the sacred site of the Jewish temple. Let us blow it up and let us rebuild the temple. And the Israeli general, a great man, but a man that really failed to understand that moment in history, a man by the name of Moshe Dayan, did not blow it up. And in point of fact, he talked to the Islamic council and he said to them, now, let's take down the Israeli flag and let you guys, even though we rule over it, we're going to let you administrate it. And you can worship up here. And the result of that was that the Jewish people have not been able to rebuild their temple in 1967 when they conquered it. It was another delay. But everything is in God's time. And I've been watching this intently since 1967 as well. And so it just didn't happen in 1967. And it hasn't happened now 41 years later. But there's going to be, you mark my words, there's going to be a peace accord that will allow the Jews to rebuild their temple. Now, they may not have to tear down the mosque to do it. They may tear it down or it may be blown up, but it may not need that. What they may wind up doing is putting a partition up between the mosque and the temple. And so, at any rate, there will be an agreement. It will be signed on by the European Union leader. And promise of protection if anybody invades and tries to stop Israel from enjoying their Temple Mount. By the way, that's one of the great sticking points that has held up this peace process for all these years. Since 1991, when they started having these talks about the Israelis and the Palestinians having peace, the thing that has held it up has been the final status agreement on the city of Jerusalem. And like a umbilical cord tied from a mother to a baby, when you talk about the final status of who's going to control Jerusalem and how is it going to break down, the Temple Mount is the key issue there. What's going to happen on that Temple Mount? But more and more, see, since Moshe Dayan didn't care about the Temple Mount, more and more Jewish people do care about it. And there are these groups that have been preparing to worship on the temple. They built the furnishings for the temple. One of the rabbis, Rabbi Getz, in the 1980s, actually got into a tunnel that was discovered by a man named Warren in the 1800s. And that tunnel led right under the Mosque of Omar. Well, that's the Temple Mount. Guess what he saw when he was in there? He saw the Ark of the Covenant. He saw it. It's right under, mark my words, it's right under the Mosque of Omar. It was hidden there before the Babylonian invasion in 606 BC. That wasn't even, 586 BC is when it was really gone, because the Babylonians weren't able to get it when they burned the temple down. That Ark of the Covenant wasn't even here during the days of Christ. They didn't have it. They didn't find it then. In the second temple, remember the second temple was rebuilt in Nehemiah's day, and then Herod expanded it in the days of Christ. In the temple of Jesus' day, they didn't have that Ark of the Covenant there. It's still underneath the Mosque of Omar down there. And it's been there since about 586 BC. Well, what happened was, when they went down there, Rabbi Getz was prepared to get it, and he was going to get it. He was going to take it out. But he was scared because the Palestinians. And they heard about it. They heard he was down there, and just when they were going to get it, they jumped down into the tunnel. A huge gang of them. They were outnumbered. A fist fight just about broke out. And the Israeli soldiers came down, the Israeli police and soldiers. And true to form, the way they've been, they stopped it and they allowed the Arabs to seal it off with cement, concrete. And they sealed it off, and nobody can get in there right now. Why? It's all a political, bollocked up thing. It's all tightly sealed until this. You see? It's all under God's sovereignty. And there have been people that have tried to do things, but they have not been able. And Rabbi Getz is passed away now. He's not here. So this is where we are. And you are living in one of the most exciting times in history. You are living just prior to the events of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And when we go into the 7 years, that will be more prophecies fulfilled than in 2,000 years of history. And you very well could be here for these seals, okay? And we've looked at all these seals and seen all these seals. And of course, it's important that we realize that our time is limited. We need to do the Lord's work while we have time. And if you're not sure you're a born-again Christian, you need to be saved. Because if you're not saved, when the Lord comes back, you will not be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. You will go through the wrath of God that we're going to study. You'll go through the terrible judgments of God, and nobody can endure that. That's going to be like hell on earth. And you will not be saved and delivered. So right now is the day to be saved and to call upon Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And if you believe in Him in your heart, that He died for our sins, that He was buried, that He rose again, and you ask Him to wash your sins away, He will save you. But if you don't do that, then you won't be saved, and you will suffer, you know, the wrath of God. So that brings us now to chapter 7, and let's just start that today. We don't have much time, but let's look at that, because now in chapter 7, remember, we have just had six seals open. We're preparing for the seventh seal, and the seventh seal contains the wrath of God. So let's look at verse 1. It says, "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow, nor on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree." So there is a calm. You know, it kind of reminds me, have you heard about the calm before the storm? It's like, okay, God is getting ready to pour out His wrath, and it's almost like He's hesitating before He does it, and there's this final calm before the storm. You know what? I kind of feel like that with America right now. I kind of feel like that with America, because as I read the prophets of God, we have had a calm, if you think about it. I'm talking about right on our own soil here. We've had our boys go over to Iraq, over to Afghanistan, over to the Middle East, and many of them have died over there, even one of our own young men. But here we've had peace since September 11, haven't we? We've had quiet. But I look at this country and I see what happened on 9/11, and I saw people flocking into churches and people getting serious about the end of the world and about the end of their lives and all of this. I saw in the Capitol the Congress singing God Bless America, but it didn't last. It didn't last. And what has happened? We have a moral meltdown. People are living together without being married. By the way, that's fornication. God says that's whoring around. That's ungodliness. He says whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. He hasn't changed His Bible. America has become a nation of whores and whoremongers. It's in the movies. Every Hollywood actress that wants to make it has to be a whore and take off her clothes for the camera. We're living in a nation of ungodliness. We see more and more homosexuality coming right out in the open. Governor of New Jersey came out and said, "I'm a homosexual." California, homosexual marriages now legal by the court. Massachusetts, same thing. We are getting worse. There's a moral meltdown. God, years ago, Billy Graham said God would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if He doesn't judge America. He'd have to apologize. That was in the 1950s He said that. And look where we are now. We're going downhill. Now, as I read the Bible, it doesn't matter. Any nation that goes against God's law and melts down morally, God judges that nation. All right, and so we are headed for the judgments of God on the United States of America. And during the Bush administration, we haven't had another foreign attack since 9/11 on our soil. But President Bush, who's much maligned, is just about ready to leave office. Probably before he leaves office, you can kind of mark my words here, this is a political statement, but I would guess before he leaves office, either the United States or Israel, or the United States and Israel will attack Iran. There'll be a major attack on Iran and on their nuclear program over there. It's going to happen. Whether the United States does it or not, Israel will certainly do it. And they're already preparing for it this summer. If you doubt my word, you may not have heard about it, but a year ago last summer, Israel took out a nuclear site in Syria and completely destroyed it. It was developed from North Korean nuclear technology, and Israel destroyed it. So that's going to unleash some things. And I'm saying that the United States of America, our best protection is not our military. Our best protection is if we turn back to God. And I haven't seen it happening at all as of this point. And it may take these things to wake America up to stop playing with these things. And I thank God for marriages like I saw yesterday. Weddings like I saw yesterday. That was such a blessing. And a church in New York City where you're seeing lives being built on the gospel of Jesus Christ and families being changed and bus ministry, and just wonderful to see it. You know, thank God for that. And for the marriage that I saw last week, and my daughter and her husband just got back to their honeymoon. They're going to be here this morning for church. Then they have to go. But thank God for that. And that's what we need to do, is build lives on the right foundation, the foundation of the Bible. The King James Bible, by the way, is the preserved word of God for the English-speaking people. And we need to get back to that Bible right there. And then the gospel of Jesus Christ. We heard such a clear presentation of the gospel in the wedding yesterday, and four people raised their hand for salvation. That's what we need. And we need to get back to founding our marriages on what God said, not Adam and Steve, Adam and Eve. And America has really turned away and needs to get back. Thank God for President Bush that he appointed justices like Roberts and Alito, who are strictly constructing the Constitution, and they voted to allow Americans to carry guns, which is one of our basic amendments to our Constitution, that we have the right to bear arms. But I tell you what, if you get another president in there, if you get a president in there like Barack Obama, you're in big, big trouble. Because the judges he will appoint will do just the opposite to the things I'm saying. You say, how do you know? I've studied his voting record, and I have heard his statements, and it's going to be mayhem. So we are in a dangerous place. And the other guy running against him is just somewhat better. But it's kind of the lesser of two evils right now, in my view of it. Just the lesser of two evils. So what I'm saying is that we are facing the judgment of God in this country. You say, what can we do? The best thing we can do is build our lives on God's Word and make sure that your faith is in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And as the preacher said yesterday, most everybody in America believes in their head there is a Jesus, that he died on the cross, that he was buried, that he rose again. But with their heart, they haven't trusted him to save them from their sin. And you're not saved until you put your faith in him and trust him with your heart to save you personally through his death and burial and resurrection. And so if you haven't done that, if you haven't been saved by Jesus, right now, if I were you, before this class is over, right now, I would call upon Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to hell to pay for my sins forever. I don't want to go through these judgments. Lord, I want to be saved. I put my faith in you that you died for our sins. And he loves us. And he died for the sins of the world to offer anybody in this world the forgiveness of all their sin through his death. You can have all your sin taken away. You don't get it by joining a church. You don't get it by the sacraments. You don't get it by a priest. You don't get it by a pastor. You get it by putting your faith in Jesus Christ alone to save you, calling upon him. And then you can know you're saved, because he promises, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so there's going to be this wrath of God. And verse 1 of chapter 7 says there's going to be this peace before the storm. And I see that in America. I don't know, maybe this Christmas will be the last peaceful Christmas, or last Christmas was our last peaceful Christmas. One of the two. But when you have the Lord, you have true peace. And then verse 2 says, I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. Isn't that a great thing to know? That God is concerned about his servants? That he is going to judge this world? The sea is going to be judged. The earth is going to be judged. I mean, this physical earth is going to be judged. And before he does that, he's going to make sure that his servants are sealed. And that means they are protected from his wrath. And he will not judge the earth until his servants are protected. All right, now, in chapter 7, it's going to tell us about two things that are going to happen before God pours out his wrath. And the wrath will be poured out in chapter 8. But in chapter 7, with the opening of the, just before the opening of the seventh seal, which contains all of the wrath of God, or all of the seven trumpet judgments of the wrath of God. The seventh seal contains all the seven trumpet judgments of the wrath of God. That'll be opened in chapter 8. But before the wrath of God is poured out between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, there are two things in chapter 7 that God says has to happen during this little time of peace before the storm. And the first thing is God is going to seal his servants. Now, when he says his servants, he's not talking about you and I. That's going to be the second thing mentioned in Revelation chapter 7. He's talking about what servants have to be sealed. Denny Owen?
The
144,000. Now, this is where the Jehovah's Witnesses have really been confused. They think they're the 144,000, or they think some of them are the 144,000, the special ones. No, it has nothing to do with this time before the 70th week. It's after the 70th week. This is going to be in the second half of the 7 years. And it's going to be just before the wrath of God is poured out. After the sixth seal, after this cosmic dark thing, that's when there's the 144,000 that are sealed. So it's not Jehovah's Witness people. They've got their timing all wrong. They don't understand Revelation. Number two is, it's Jews. If you notice, it's going to be the Jewish people, because the Jews are God's earthly people. You and I are made up of Jews and Gentiles that have accepted the Lord before the rapture. And when the rapture takes place, we're going to be removed. And we're going to talk about that in chapter 7 in just a moment. But before that, he's going to seal these Jews. It's kind of like the baton pass. When God's church is going to leave the earth, he has to have an earthly people ready to be saved and protected. So he's going to seal those 144,000 Jewish people, and they will be on earth, and they will be protected during this time. Now, what I'd like you to do for this week, if you would, I want you to read chapter 7 of the book of Revelation, and I want you to look at the sealing of the 144,000. Find out if there's one tribe missing of the 12 tribes, and tell me which one that is when we come back. And also, I want to ask you, what is the second event in chapter 7 that is described? Not only the sealing of these 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each of the tribes, but what is the second event in chapter 7 that will happen before the wrath of God is poured out in chapter 8? And that's your assignment for this week. If you would look at that and read that and answer those two questions, and we'll talk about it next week, okay? All right, see you next week.